Hey there, my name is Sam Okus. I am the editor-in-chief at Nation's Restaurant News, bringing you a very special edition of the Extra Serving podcast. That's right, this week we are thrilled to go live with NRN's Top 500 list, giving you a definitive look at restaurant chain performance in 2020. We have partnered with Data Central and its Firefly 500 platform on this year's Top 500, and it is chock full of insights that can help you benchmark your own brand's performance and strategize for the year ahead. But we are not stopping there. To dig in just a little deeper on how brands fared in 2020, each day this week, right here on the Extra Serving feed, we are going to provide you with an exclusive interview with a brand leader on how they managed to succeed in 2020 and how they're emerging from the pandemic even stronger than before. These snapshots of success give you exclusive access to the winning strategies that are helping restaurant companies navigate uncharted waters, and hopefully will provide you with the ideas for tackling challenges you face in your own business. Stay tuned for more snapshots of success, not only every day this week, but also in the coming weeks and months ahead as we explore what exactly went right for those brands that closed 2020 with positive stories to tell. So be sure to subscribe to the Extra Serving podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts, and we will be feeding you with those stories, with those interviews, with executives from some of the top 500 brands. Also, be sure to head to NRN.com to catch up on all of our top 500 coverage, including a robust data package with sales and unit count information for the nation's top 500 chain restaurants. And now, let's roll into today's Snapshots of Success interview from NRN's 2021 Top 500.
On today's installment of Snapshots of Success, the series for NRN's Top 500 report, I'm talking to Tim McHenry, founder and CEO of Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurants, one of the few full-service chains to grow both sales and units in 2020, despite the pandemic-related shutdown of indoor dining. Okay, today I have Tim McHenry, who's the founder and CEO of Cooper's Hawk, which was one of the very few full-service concepts to show sales and unit growth in 2020. He's going to tell us a little bit about how he did it, but Cooper's Hawk ended the year with 47 units. That's an addition of 6 new locations, or 14% growth. Company was founded in 2005. It's all about wine. There's a winery, there's a wine club. This chain was a breakout brand winner from us, a Hot Concepts winner, a Menu Masters winner, and a Golden Chain. So we're going to need some new awards. So Tim, tell us a little bit about Cooper's Hawk 2020 last year and what you guys did that made it a success.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for having me today. And yes, you've been very good to us with all the awards and such. So thank you. 2020 was, terrible. And then we made decisions to let it not be so terrible. And, it started off, I think it's a similar story that everybody experienced, of course, having to close the restaurants. And then it was actually weird to our operators became good at opening and closing the restaurants. So it was great for me that they were kind of handling that aspect of the business so I could, help navigate a way out of it for us. And, probably most importantly was about 6 months into COVID, we made some big decisions around we were going to grab a hold of our future. And so we started with our awesome new partners, Aries. We started investing in talent, technology, digital, data warehousing, and really everything to make Cooper's Hawk live up to its full potential over these next few years. So
you probably weren't doing much in the way of delivery before the pandemic, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we were not. I've said this in a couple of meetings that, we had the whole delivery playbook, up on the shelves. And we said, one day we'll do that when we need to. So thankfully, we were ready. And so when pre-COVID, doing delivery was going to take us about 9 months to launch. And then once COVID hit, we figured out how to do it in 4 business days. So, so that was really, really great. And the other part of Cooper's Hawk, which I'm sure we'll talk about, the two things that really enabled us to hit the metrics that you were speaking of a few minutes ago was, our incredible culture. And I know a lot of companies talk about culture, but it is so alive and well at Cooper's Hawk, even during COVID. And then number two, you know, our wine club, which is coming up on 500,000 members. And so these, the diversity of our business, our culture, and the incredible loyal following of our wine club members, thank goodness for all that, is probably all I can say.
Did you grow the wine club membership during the pandemic year?
We did, even in the early months, which, you know, I probably shouldn't go on record saying it, but I was actually, you know, we couldn't believe it. It was still growing during the pandemic. And part of it was we have this carry out discount that is a part of being a wine club member. And I think just like in 2008, you know, when things were really bad for a moment, I do think it's a flight to quality. So people would come in, you know, of course, there were very fewer people that came in, enabled us to have a conversation with them where we could explain the benefits of the wine club. And yeah, it grew significantly over the last 15 months. So I, again, probably shouldn't go on record being surprised by that, but we were very happily surprised.
You're striking a chord. So tell us about, were restaurants closed during the year and for how long?
So it was a mixed bag, you know, markets like Florida enabled us to open up a little bit faster. Chicago was all over the place. And when I say Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago, we have one restaurant downtown Chicago Esquire. So that was a extra special challenge with not only COVID, but the, you know, the riots and such. So, they read a book on that one for sure. So yeah, they were open for a few months, and we actually were a little bit slower to open them back up because I was so worried that it was, you know, the requirement to close them back down was going to happen again. And that actually did happen. But again, as you know, we became fluid in our ability to open and close the restaurants and move staff around to the different markets. But yeah, it was, we actually had a dynamic matrix that we would, you know, manage the company by every day, all hands call, you know, where are we able to open, at what capacity. And we've used that same technology now as we're opening up the company to 100% related to the staffing issues, right? So even though we're able to open everywhere, it's unfortunately we haven't been able to just due to staffing. So
now that you are open, would you keep the delivery emphasis, or is that something you're hoping to that will stick?
We're keeping it for now. We're not keeping it company-wide. The issue is, as the restaurants do come back to, you know, 100% capacity, it puts an enormous amount of pressure on the kitchens. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with our menu and such. You know, we run a very complex kitchen op. You know, system and such. So we're trying to figure that out at the moment, to be very blunt. You know, of course we love having the incremental sales, but, you know, most importantly, you know, Cooper's Hawk is an on-premise, you know, dining experience. That's where the wine club members, you know, want to really engage in and enjoy their membership. So we want to make sure that we do that right. So more to come, but, our desires are to keep it, of course. So
okay. So what's the response from your membership so far? Have they been coming back? Is there pent up demand? Are you really seeing people rushing back to restaurants? What are you seeing this year?
Yeah. Massive pent up demand for sure. Sales are you know, even the restaurants that can't seat at 100% capacity because of staffing are doing, you know, 2019 110% volumes just because there's so much demand. You know, thankfully, COVID, well, I don't know if it's thankfully, but I don't know, we all kind of put some pounds on and off, and everybody was drinking a little bit extra wine during COVID, I think. So that was good for our business model for sure.
I know I was. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about growth. You know, 6 units during the year, during a tough year, but what about this year? What's your plan?
Yeah, this year we'll end with having opened 4 units. Next year we'll open up 8 units. And, you know, continuing our philosophy, which I learned from a great advisor of mine, is, you know, we're big on cluster strategy. So, you know, if we're going to open up 8 units, 1 or 2 of them will be new market exposure, and the rest will be filling in throughout the markets that we're already in. And sometimes we think of markets being a little bit like Florida being a market, right? Even though it's, you know, got multiple markets within Florida. And so, yeah, just to continue to build a company, build a wine club, and then, you know, ultimately venture into new experiences and opportunities for the wine club members to be a part of. So we've got a lot of cool secret projects going on for sure around here. So
do they have to be secret? Can you tell us what the projects are?
I could share a little bit of them, I think. One of them is we've been dipping our toe in travel for quite some time. And so we're actually launching a travel by Coopersock platform. So Wine Club members will be able to book travel through Coopersock and, you know, get points and all the great things that they love about Coopersock. Most importantly, their trust in our brand to be able to travel with us. So it's going to be curated trips. So we take currently groups of about 35 to 40 people to Argentina to experience the wine country there, to Napa Valley, to Australia. Now, wine club members will be able to have those same experiences, but they don't have to wait for the group. They can go and kind of book that, you know, curated by Coopersock and Tim and Emily Wines and Chef Matt to, you know, be able to do these types of experiences. That's one. And the other one that we're super excited about, so I won't give you the specifics, but I'll give you the ideas. We found one of the greatest restaurants in all of Italy, and we're going to be bringing it to the Chicagoland area to really kind of curate a unique experience for wine club members and then hopefully grow that as well. So,
wow, that's exciting. Do you mean actually bring the brand to open restaurants here, or do you mean a pop-up experience or experiencing just the menu? Or
no, actually bringing the brand here. It's true partnership with Italian restaurant kind of dynasty family, and it's going to be awesome, and I think just the start of some really cool ideas that we're working on. So
that's very exciting. So you can't say which family.
Give you like 20 to 30 days, and I'll give you my cell phone number, you can call me.
Okay. I'm gonna
I don't want to jinx it. I'm afraid I'm gonna jinx it.
Okay, well that's very exciting. So that would be when? That would not in 2021 but 2022?
Correct. Yeah, that'd be in the spring. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Very exciting. All right, so branching out into new brands, but still building on what is the lifestyle brand that is Coopersock?
That's right, exactly.
With both? Okay, and I know you're opening in Sarasota this week, I think, right?
Yeah, next Monday. So not this upcoming Monday, the next Monday.
So has the pandemic changed the type of locations that you look for? I know at the end of 2019, you were moving into more urban locations for the first time. Is that going to continue, do you think, or what is your thinking in terms of the spots that you look for?
You know, I don't think it changed too much of our thinking. We have our one restaurant, Esquire, in the city of Chicago, and that really wasn't, you know, folks have said, that was your, you know, idea to test out urban, and it wasn't. I think Coopersock will do very well in urban environments, but Esquire was specifically a you know, our version of how Starbucks does the roasteries. This was our, you know, tribute to the world of wine through the lens of Coopersock. So this location was, you know, about, again, creating a unique experience for wine club members that they otherwise might not be able to attain. And as we think about the real estate philosophy, you know, we love being the, you know, it's kind of whether it's Chili's or TGI's, the local neighborhood restaurant that happens to do, you know, AUVs of $9.3 to $9.4 million. And so that's what we like. We like, you know, we're really being a part of a community where, you know, the, you know, suburbs have a lot of folks that, you know, want to be wine club members that want to come, and the level of frequency of the diners is really incredible. So philosophy didn't really change. Some of the opportunities have, you know, have been great. So we're trying to take advantage of that, but otherwise still pushing forward, business as usual. So,
okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking this time and for that news drop. I'm very excited to hear what's coming. So we'll stay tuned. Everyone stay tuned. There's more to come on that.